I'm Dave Cawley, investigative journalist and host of the podcast, Cold. Don't miss Cold's new Season 3, where I look into the unsolved disappearance of Cherie Warren, a woman last seen leaving her job at a Salt Lake City office in 1985. Police cast suspicion on Cherie's estranged husband and boyfriend, but never made any arrests or recovered Cherie's remains. Find Cold Season 3, The Search for Cherie, anywhere you get your podcasts.
Dave and Janovic.
I'm going to speak to Representative John Curtis in just a matter of moments. We were covering this story yesterday that he'd made a top 10 list of the most effective members in Congress. And while we were producing this, I tried to pick your brain and say, and asked, like, why? I mean, it is pretty amazing, right, to be an effective member of Congress. But I wanted to know why and what the legislation is that he has passed and sponsored and passed that has made him so effective. So instead of doing an entire sweep of the internet and congressional records to try to figure out what he has done, we decided to just get the man himself on the air with us and ask him.
Debbie, first of all, you're the worst.
I'm terrible.
Listen, I'm telling you all this great stuff. He was ranked like eighth most effective Republican in the House. Like, this is great. He's had four bills passed, three substantial bills that went into law. And you're like, yeah, but what did the laws say?
What they did?
I'm like, I don't know. So.
Stop asking me questions. And so thankfully, Representative Curtis, you became available today for our show. So good to hear from you. And let me just ask you straight up, what did you do that has you labeled as one of the most effective members of Congress? I mean, what is the, you have three pieces of substantial pieces of legislation, but in your mind, what is the top one?
So for the record, I could have just listened to you two interview me without me talking for a very long time. I was enjoying that.
Sorry, I lost track of all the stuff you're doing.
So, you know what? There's two principles here that I think are just very important. One is, I think we're really good listeners. Almost every one of those pieces of legislation came about as a constituent showed us a problem and wanted help solving that problem. One, just real quickly, is the Bonneville Shoreline Trail. There's pieces along the Bonneville Shoreline Trail that are actually wilderness, which means technically you can't ride a bicycle on them. When you talk about quality of life in Utah, an important feature is that Bonneville Shoreline Trail. And so they brought that to us and said, can you help? And we found a path forward. And so the second piece is, so first you have to find out what the problem is. The second piece is, I've just got this incredible team. A team that loves to legislate, that measures success on effectiveness, not just feel-good stuff that we do back here. So a shout-out to my team and to my constituents who have really teed me up to have that recognition.
How willing has Congress been, your the House been, to listen to a Republican? Because I think there's certainly a perception that you guys can't even talk to each other across the hall.
Well, you know, I hate that perception. There is some of that goes on back here, but I think that what we've been able to achieve is evidence that there are a lot of people that do work well together. And let's face it, the reality of it is we're in a divided government. And listen, I passed those bills not in a divided government, but a Democratic House, Senate, and presidency. If you can't figure out how to work across the aisle and find good people that will support you, you're not going to get anything done here. And I think that's another important key is realizing, look, we have to be realistic about this. We have to find people across the aisle who we can share common values and places we agree.
Representative John Curtis live on the line with us right now talking about this designation he received. Maybe one of the most effective members of Congress. This is something that is done through University of Virginia and Vanderbilt University. They team up, they compile this matrix, and then you bubbled up to one of the top 10. If Bonneville Shoreline Trail is your gold medal, what's your silver medal legislation that got there?
Well, I've got to tell you, and this actually goes to previous Congress, my gold medal is the Henry County Public Lands Act. It's one of the largest public lands bills in the state's history and one of the most difficult pieces of legislation that I have worked on. And what a great feeling of success to team with the locals in that area. my other members of the delegation, and clearly that'd be my gold medal if there is such a thing.
Rural Utah is out of sight, out of mind at times. Remind us, what does that do?
So people don't realize this. It's actually 400 miles from the top of my district to the bottom. If you Google it, you have to even go through Colorado to get from the top to the bottom. But I'll tell you, the best men and women in the state, in my mind, are in rural Utah. These are patriotic, hardworking, God-fearing, humble people. And it's a real highlight for me, a big part of my district that I enjoy. And I think it's very important that they feel like that they have a representative here. You know, if you just simply go by the numbers, you wouldn't spend a lot of time there. But if you go by who really appreciates my help and who actually really needs my help, that's where not just me, but my entire team likes to spend a lot of time.
And that legislation did what for them, Congressman?
Well, it brought certainty into the region. They were worried, like down in the Berger's area, that they would bounce back and forth with Antiquity Act designations, then have it repealed, then have it put back in, as would happen down in the Berger's area. It brought certainty into the area so they can have economic stability. They can build a platform on that. It takes a lot of how much divisiveness there is around Berger's. It takes that out of the equation. And I just think it's done a lot of good things. And I have to give a huge shout out to those local leaders who were really pretty brave in advancing that legislation and putting a stake in the ground and saying this is important for us.
Representative John Curtis joining right now, labeled by I'm trying to remember exactly the name of what was the study called?
Yeah, I'll look it up.
Oh, I got it. The Center for Effective Lawmaking.
Yeah.
There we are.
I knew the word effective was in there.
what is it that Congress can do to become more effective? Because there's a couple of things that stood out to me. As you were describing these bills, they weren't necessarily the headline, the something that's going to steal, lead Fox News or lead CNN or MSNBC, but important to the state itself. What are some lessons that I think lawmakers could learn about being an effective Congress member?
You know, I think people will tell you when you come back here, you have to decide why you're coming. And there are those who come because they want to end up on the news. And, you know, there's a path to end up on Fox News or CNN every night. And there are those who come back because they want to be great orators. And there's people that come because they want to pass legislation. And I think you have to kind of decide. And the people you hire have a lot to do with your success. And so you need to hire people that also agree with you on those priorities. And it's kind of deciding what you want to do when you come here. There's a million paths that you can go, and it's impossible to take all of them. So you have to focus.
Representative John Curtis, before we let you go, speaking of headlines, the big headline today is the congressional hearing with the CEO of TikTok. Where do you, just for the record, where do you fall on the potential for the federal government to ban the use of TikTok in the United States?
Well, it was actually my committee, and I just a few minutes ago left questioning Mr. Chu.
Oh, good.
I had my 5 minutes with him.
Well, tell all, because we've been here at the Salt Palace. We didn't see you. So tell us, what was your questioning? What was your line of questioning about?
Well, I wanted him to acknowledge, and I worked hard to get him acknowledged, that as a social media platform, they cross a line when they use algorithms to promote content or to diminish content. And Section 230 protects them from that. And I think that's wrong. I think we would solve all of this if they had liability for their actions. And right now they're all protected from decisions they make to amplify messages. So if they amplify a message that leads to an eating disorder in a young woman, there's no consequence for that. And that's where I had my line of questioning, is saying, look, tell me why you shouldn't have responsibility if you magnify a message that causes harm.
Where do you fall on the potential for a ban of TikTok?
Well, I know some of my colleagues are very vocal about that. I had some reservations simply from a constitutional legal standpoint. And I think as conservatives, we probably ought to find an answer that fits a little bit more in harmony with our conservative values. And that, to me, is accountability for their actions rather than just trying to ban what people are saying I'd rather see him just be accountable for these things.
Representative John Curtis, thank you for taking the time to join us today. We'll talk to you again. Thanks.
And your willingness to answer questions beyond what made you one of the most effective members in Congress. And maybe that is what also makes him effective, is his willingness to jump on the line with us and other members of the media and talk through topics of the day, which the topic of the day today is the congressional hearing regarding TikTok and the CEO of TikTok, who is testifying before Congress this morning. Learned that Representative Curtis was on that committee and then had his own line of questioning. We'll read more about that today at KSLNewsRadio.com.
Yeah, it's important, and it is tricky because if you do, say, ban TikTok, what are you going to do with Instagram or Snapchat or YouTube? It sets a precedence that is scary, and I think we got to be very, very thoughtful about how we proceed with TikTok.
Straight ahead, we're going to wrap up our live coverage from the Salt Palace. Project Homeless Connect is just getting started, though. Tomorrow's a full day of free homeless services for people experiencing homelessness. Excited to speak next to two people. First of all, person helping to run this event tomorrow, and also an expert in veterans and homelessness. Straight ahead.
A gun in the face.
Then all of a sudden they all kind of lined up. They pointed their guns at me. And this is the point where I thought, I'm going to die today.
Started 2 years of horror for an American in Venezuela.
They said, you need to give us your phone and get ready because you're coming with us.
I'm Becky Bruce, and I spent a year researching and piecing together Josh and Tammy Holt's story about their ordeal in a notorious prison.
That's when everything started to turn bad. We had another pound on the door. Boom, boom, boom. And there was the police once again.
You can binge all of the episodes of Hope in Darkness on KSLPodcasts.com or wherever you get your podcasts.